This podcast is brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Keep Joy on air by becoming a member, a subscriber, or donate. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.
This is the Vic Police Glow Show, exclusive to Joy Podcast, presented by Vic Police LGBTI liaison officers and a range of Joy presenters. Now, here is the Glow Show.
Hello and welcome to The Glow Show. My name is Dee Mason. You're on Joy 94.9. And I have in the studio with me, of course, leading senior constable Gabby Tyack. Welcome, Gabby.
Thank you. I'm very excited because I have a really interesting guest next to me.
Why don't you go ahead and introduce her then?
Well, the first Victorian commissioner, well, first in Australia, actually, for gender and sexuality, Ro Allen.
Happy to be here.
Welcome, Ro Allen.
You look also a bit stunned.
I just didn't know that she was the first.
Yeah. No other state has a commissioner for gender and sexuality.
Yet. Stage left and to her right is Dani Houseman from Victoria Police. Welcome, Dani.
Thanks, Dee.
Now, Ro Allen, how many commissioners are there in Victoria? Not of gender and sexuality, but generally.
I think there's about 12, if you include Commissioner for Seniors and Multicultural Commissioner and Commissioner for Disabilities, and there's even a Commissioner for Red Tape. One of them calls me the Commissioner for Rainbows and Unicorns.
Okay. And so shall we. So just broadly, what is the nature of your role as a commissioner?
It's to make sure that Victoria becomes a safer place for lesbian, gay, bisexual, transgender, diverse and intersex Victorians. Small little job title.
And she's never busy, ever.
No, and I notice that you go with the acronym LGBTI. Is that
I do.
Is that statewide accepted?
It is at the moment. It's obviously moving. I always say language is evolving. When I travel around, elders tell me in our community that Q and queer is still a very hurtful and painful word. When I'm talking to young people, I'll use queer all the time. So I'm just very aware, I suppose, of where I use it. And if I use it, I acknowledge, as I just have now, that it's, you know, we're reclaiming the word, but it has been historically really painful. So I think you'll see LGBTIQA+ kind of move more into the Victorian government language. But at the moment, it's LGBTI.
Interesting, because, and I hadn't heard that interpretation before. I'd heard that there was a move towards using the Q as the encompassing term, but I hadn't heard of the sensitivity around that word.
You're not old enough, Dee.
Clearly. Now, what we want to talk about today, Ro, is, and Gabby, I'm happy for you to take the lead on this, is the Equality Roadshow, which ran around regional Victoria earlier this year.
Started last
year. That's when I was involved.
Yeah, Roadshow 1. We're into Roadshow 2 now.
And follow-up visits as well.
Follow-up visits?
Yeah, it's never ending.
I always say I take the Victorian part of my job title very seriously. If you're going to be the Victorian anything, you've got to go to the people. You've got to go out to Victoria. And so the Rural Roadshow was a great way to get out there.
What was the aim, objective of the Roadshow, and how do you evaluate its success?
Well, I'm going to have a bit of help by Vic Health to evaluate it because, it is hard to actually count the outcomes in some ways. But we went to 22 towns. It ended up being 22. It was meant to be 20, but two snuck in there. And really,
as towns do.
Well, you're coming past, Commissioner. Why don't you just stop off and raise a flag here? That's sort of how that happened. So we ended up stopping a bit longer. But it's about having the conversations, going out and having the conversations. And what I like to do is to connect people, even in their own towns. So Daniel Woodhouse went out prior as a bit of a scout and checked out what was going on in towns, which towns we would go to, what some of the sensitivities were, what some of the projects were, scoped it out. The roadshow came out, and then that included LGBTI training, business breakfasts, meet with the council, and a community dinner, where I reckon all the magic happened. That's where you sit the CEO of the hospital with a local trans woman and a couple of gay kids, and you have a conversation, and the mayor goes, gee, I didn't even know we had people.
Gays in the village.
Gays in the village, yeah. Mm-hmm. So all those conversations, and then we just saw whiteboard after whiteboard of ideas and things that towns were left with. We did a sort of a where to from here session before we left, where you want to be in 3 months, and the idea that we will go back round, and we're just on that sort of trek now, 3 months later, sometimes it's been 4 or 5 months later, but we go back, and that's really important, you not to just be a flash in the pan and go through a town.
Do you implement the changes on the whiteboard?
No, to see what they've done. I mean, that's the beauty of this, and we just recently got back from Hamilton, and they had all done all these sorts of things, and they had set up pride games, and they've got LGBTI inclusion in their local council plan, and the police station's got flags and the counter and all these things that they'd done. So half of the list they'd already done. And I kind of reminded them that, we come out, we do a bit of hospitality and we have a chat with them and we give them some lunch, but there's nothing on that list that the commissioner or my office actually did. The communities have done all of those things themselves after we've left. And I think that's how you evaluate the good outcomes.
Yeah, they have to take ownership of it.
That's right.
Because you come down with some resources and some ideas and some information, and then they have to run with it and implement it implement it into their own community, and that's what they've been doing.
That's right. And every event in the 22 towns has had the Victorian police.
Yeah, so how did this relationship between the commissioner and the police get going, and what was the role of the police the road?
I went to Graham Ashton, the chief commissioner of police, and said, hey, buddy, can I borrow your bus?
That's pretty much how it went.
Yeah.
And he said, okay.
Because, you know, some of these other commissioners have a lot more resources than me. In fact, all of them have a lot more resources than me. And
he was too scared to say no.
Pretty much. But it was an opportunity to partner in this. And so, look, we got a police driver and a bus, and it was fantastic. And, of course, then he wrote to all the superintendents, is it?
Mm-hmm.
And assistant commissioners in all the regions that I was coming. And, Gabby, you came on the roadshow, and, Dani, you were on the roadshow.
Yeah, I was on for a week as well.
And in Swan Hill, they gave me a tour around. The police put me in the mouth of the cod. We took photos. Yes.
I fell out of that mouth.
in Bendigo, I did a...
Just run me through the mouth of the cod.
There's this giant cod, like
the fish. You know how they have like the giant pineapple and the giant whatever?
And the police said, look, you've got 2 hours before the dinner. Do you want us to give you a tour around town?
Do you want us to shove you in a cod mouth?
Yeah.
We put you in a jail cell too.
That's right. You put me in a jail cell. We took a photo of that. But it was great. And, you know, you often get one of the local police come to one session and then you find them back at the dinner in casual clothes, and then they came to the Where To From Here session, and we got them really quite engaged. And often they knew, maybe local people knew that police officer, but they didn't know they had the portfolio of LGBTI inclusion. They didn't know they were a GLOW.
So do you have a GLOW in every regional town in Victoria?
No, not yet.
No, there's a GLOW in every division, and I think even in every police service area, which sort of covers maybe 2 to 5 stations depending on where you are in the state. Not yet at every single police station. And I think part of that is just that
people move.
And also, I think we've got still some, you know, single person police stations. And so some of the individuals don't necessarily want to say, I'm a GLOW or I'm a this or I'm a that, because they're it for the entire town. So they want to be everything to everybody. So they don't want to start labelling as well. But we've even got people out there that aren't GLOWs can still be incredibly inclusive and engaged with community.
Well, presumably the aim is to eventually have a police force that is all trained in the issues that the GLOWs represent.
Yeah, and not need a GLOW. That was always the dream, that you wouldn't need a LGBTI liaison officer.
You're going to work yourself out of a job.
It's not happening in the near future, I don't think. But, I mean, quite a few of the police who came along who weren't GLOWs became GLOWs after the roadshow.
See, there's an outcome. We need to capture that too.
Yeah.
Is there any town, I'll put this to you, Ro Allen, that surprised you either positively or negatively?
Oh, look, it has to be my own town, Violet Town.
Yeah.
That's the one that jumps to mind. And that was one of the ones that snuck in on my way to Benalla. Can you stop here, Ro? And
Keys to the City stuff, Keys was it? City.
Well, no, it was Launch the Flag. So talking about one person police stations. I mean, Constable Pat Storer, the Violet Town Action Group, VTAG, put up the money for a flagpole and the op shop paid for the flag. And outside the Violet Town police station flies right now a rainbow flag, right there with the Aboriginal flag and the Australian flag. And that is massive.
Yeah.
And then what surprised me with how many people came out to see this flag go in the air. And, you know, I thought I was the only crew in the village when I lived up there, but I tell you, I'm not. And it was amazing.
How many people were there?
I reckon there were 70 people.
Wow.
Crowd control.
Well,
massive.
You know, in Violet Town, that's pretty big.
What is the population in Violet Town?
Oh, 500 or something. This was in the middle of the day. You know, and now that flag flies there, and it's on the main drag as you come through town, and it's quite a big strip because people turn off the Hume Highway to go to Bendigo. It says that Violet Town is a safe and welcoming place as a town, because I think in a rural area, the police station can guide the culture a lot. And it also says if you need a police person, then this is a safe place to go. I wish when I lived in Violet Town before Pat arrived that I knew that.
Did you find a town that didn't feel like a welcoming place to the LGBTI community?
There are a few towns with a few issues. Probably won't name them on radio because I'm still working with them. I don't want to name and shame them. But, you know, we'll be revisiting some of those towns. And we heard some really negative things. And but that's anywhere. You know, that is anywhere. And people have got to be confident enough to start telling us about those things. But we left those towns with a plan so that people who were in those towns were connected to. So if it was 30 k's away, they were connected to another support in another town, at least something in that space. And we left Horsham with an LGBTI position in Headspace. You know, that happened. Mm-hmm. And, you know, we left Swan Hill with an LGBTI working party. And it's just amazing. Just really quite extraordinary how if they had a problem with a particular service, yes, I can systemically try and help that by making a few phone calls. But in the meantime, people worked out a workaround solution to how LGBTI, particularly young people, could get services in a particular town. If there were roadblocks and things, they found other ways to make it happen. So
I wonder whether or not the information we now have from the ABS in terms of results in on the marriage equality question couldn't be overlaid over Victoria and see where... I mean, I wonder if there's not a correlation between those votes cast and possible crimes against the LGBTI community.
Yeah, it's interesting. If you look at rural Victoria, we really shone in the votes. And if you look at Ballarat, it had 70%, which was much higher.
I wonder if that would have been lower pre the roadshow.
See,
through some of these
hard
towns.
To guess. Mm. Hard to guess. I'll claim it if you like.
I think you should claim it. I think it's a good thing to claim.
Roadshow returns top results. In, yeah.
Well, I remember sitting at one of the towns that I was on the roadshow for, and the first morning people were there. They were interested, but I think they didn't really know what to expect. And then by the end of the visit, everyone was so keen. You could see them taking it on board and wanting to make it a success. So it was really interesting to see from the beginning to the end of over just a few days.
Yeah, it was just a few days, you know, but when you pull people together, things happen. I mean, that's the basis of it. And the police were completely involved in the whole lot, which was absolutely brilliant. And in Bendigo, when I went to the police station, I thought I was meeting with the superintendent to find out there was 50 police.
Oh.
And I was giving a full, you know, workshop.
That's more Tim Tams than you'd catered for.
They did the catering. But, you know, I've been obviously a bit of fortune, a bit of luck that I'd landed on the day of the regional meeting. But they stopped the whole meeting for a 20-minute presentation from me. Now, that's pretty cool.
That's changing everything. That's
changing
internally.
Yeah, that's changing, you know.
I have a question, which is more about me than anybody, about accommodations. Please tell me that you refit the commissioner's bus with bunk beds for all of the touring. Is that right? I imagine you got your Dolly Diamond, your Gabby Glow, everybody just in little bunks.
No, see, I had to give this bus back, unfortunately.
Oh.
It couldn't have any
And it was
changes.
Very boring. It didn't have police on the side. It was just a grey...
Oh, it wasn't promoted as...
Oh, no.
It was just... nothing Priscilla about it at all. It was just a very... It was a very grey bus. But if you go onto my Facebook page and look back, you'll see we created what I call the kind of Wiggles bus, which was a bus made of 7 pieces that we screwed together with 3 big windows in it. And it said LGBTI Equality Roadshow, and it was a big green bus. And people could take photos with me sticking their head through this bus at dinner. And I thought, it's pretty kitsch. But everybody got up and wanted a photo in this bus with the bus driver's hat on. And
you weren't having flashbacks to the carp incident with your...
to the cod. No, it was great. And so what was useful about that bus was such an activation that, you know, they had mayors and people and everybody on the bus, basically, get on the bus. And then I would post that on social media and people would go, wow, I saw the head of the library there. I saw the CEO of the council there. I didn't know they were supportive. And that's fantastic. So people who were not confident in coming out did see those people who did, and that made a big impact on them feeling more safe in their community. So that was a really great way to sort of, it was a fun, you know, activation, but it allowed people to be photographed with the commissioner in a way that said, you know, I'm on the journey, I'm on the bus, I'm here for you, you know, it's great. Whatever that messaging people took from that, it was great.
One of the great things I've noticed as a change in this space over the last 10 years, say, is that idea that there used to be this sort of assumption that if you associated with gay, you were gay. Do you know what I mean? It's that sort of, but I love it that, and that's what a true ally is, somebody that will stand up and say, no, I want to support this. And don't even need to mention my own sexuality.
Yeah, well, if you look back at history with Victoria Police, where in 2001 was the first time police could march in Pride March in uniform, and then you look at 2016 when the Chief Commissioner provided a bus for the Equality Roadshow tour. Mm.
Yeah.
I don't know whether one of our buses has been provided in that way to an outside organisation before.
Probably nobody's ever asked.
Well, perhaps. But I mean, I think that's a really big show of support from our Chief Commissioner, that Victoria Police is supportive of the LGBTI community, and we're so supportive that we're providing you with something that will take you around the country to improve
bus and a
relationships.
Yeah. I was going to say, because you wouldn't want to get a speeding fine in the Commissioner's bus. That
They wouldn't let me drive. I actually have an endorsed bus licence.
Of course you do.
Of course I do, right? Every commissioner. But they wouldn't actually let me drive it. So.
Well, last time I had Gabby and Dani in the studio, they were bemoaning the fact that they can't march at Mardi Gras because they can't fly up there. Maybe I'm thinking, Mr. Commissioner,
we could... We did get the police bus to take a bus full of glows up to a conference in New South Wales in October that we called the Glow Bus. So the buses do get a little bit of an outing to support LGBTI community activities, but...
I think we start the campaign here and now.
I'll send a copy of this to our chief.
Now, what's the plan going forward? Do we do it annually?
Well, we've got one more year up till, well, financial year. So up till June this year, we'll be going around again to consolidate what we've done, which is fantastic.
Do you think there's going to be a little bit of, well, you again? Like, are you a one-trick pony, or do you think you can get the numbers again? Maybe it'll build.
Look, we've done 4 revisits or roadshow 2 and new faces. So the people who've heard about it didn't get there. You know, we go around the table, introduce each other. We say, have you been to Roadshow before, or are you new? And it's like half-half. And the other people go, oh, I heard about how fantastic it was, so I have to make sure I came this time. So it's new audience as well. And as we've already said today, that people move. So people move out of town, so it's important. And it's really important to re-energise them on their list and see how their list's going.
And it would be great if those people who move take these ideas wherever
they
go.
Well, that's right. That's right. And we are ramping it up a bit. We've got a communities of practice in Melbourne next year, and we'll bring 5 people from each town into Melbourne so they can actually workshop things with each other, like how do you get a flag up at a police station? How do you run a pride match? How do you do this? How do you do that? And so they can start to cross-pollinate their ideas. And they're all very excited and champing at the bit too. Get into that.
That's great, because the only impetus for them to do it, they're not legally required to do it. Or
I don't give them any money.
No, exactly. No. So you're actually presenting enough information for them to motivate them to do something that there is literally nothing in it for them.
Correct.
Excellent. Well done. That's why you got the job. That's why I'm sitting on this side, isn't it?
Yeah, the other commissioners, they have all these powers of investigation.
You've just got powers of persuasion.
I do, that's all.
You sprinkle rainbow dust,
don't
you?
That's it.
Commissioner for Rainbows and Unicorns?
It was a bit of an experiment, but it's worked. And that's due to the good hearts and warm feelings from all the rural people.
And how good would it be for people who live in those communities to see the support that they never knew existed before, once being so isolated and now having all these support services and seeing that they're not the only gay in the village?
Look, I didn't grow up in regional Victoria. I grew up in very much suburban Melbourne, but I would have killed for any mention of anything gay. Do you know what I mean? Just to even imagine that this is happening out there in regional Victoria is fantastic. And well done you.
Cheers.
Ro Allen, when you're not touring Victoria with the Equality Roadshow, what are the other parts of your job?
Well, one of the things that I'm working on today, and I'll go into doing some more promotion about next year, is raising the awareness of LGBTIQ family violence. So the Victorian government is in the process of doing a massive reform around family violence, which takes up, I think, 60% of the Victorian police workload generally.
It does take up a lot of our time.
Yeah, a lot.
Which would include what, call outs to households following up on threats?
Yeah, a lot of paperwork, a lot of following
court
up.
Court time.
Yep.
It might be 60% of court time, but it's a lot of time. And a lot of resources, as well as so damaging so many people's lives. And so sort of global first in Victoria, we've secured $5.8 million for LGBTI family violence. So we're developing a sector, as you do, in experts in the LGBTI family violence sector. And we've funded some more intensive support services. So now in Victoria, you can ring 1-800-LGBTIQ, which is pretty clever, really. 1-800-LGBTIQ if you're a survivor or you're still experiencing family violence, and get support directly from Drummond Street, VAC, Transgender Victoria or Switchboard. And they're all part of the consortia working together. So part of my role was trying to get them all together first, work out what we needed, and then add some dollars to actually get some specific extra services in. And I think before we even get to that, it's just talking about family violence in our community. That's really, really important. And we've been completely flooded with marriage equality, which is great. We've won that. Now we have to move on and talk about the dark side of the rainbow, the things that we need to talk about that are happening in our community. So people kind of put up with it a lot, and they don't report it, or they believe the police are not going to accept them or have some sort of homophobic response. Mm. The Victorian police have had extra training in LGBTI family violence. And again, I'd suggest going to a GLOW, but it's time that we sort of start talking about it, take the lid off it like we are generally in Victoria, in our community as well.
So Dani Houseman, in terms of family violence, what would that look like in an LGBTI context?
I guess we see, from Victoria Police's perspective, we see family violence within the LGBTI community probably broadly in 3 different ways. So we've got intimate partner violence, so whether it's female to female, male to male, whether trans people involved, whether there's parties are bisexual. We're also seeing increasingly violence perpetrated, generally emotional or psychological abuse perpetrated by parents against their children when their children might be coming out either as gay or letting their parents know they're trans or gender diverse and their parents not being happy about that, and so they're perpetrating violence against their children. And increasingly we're also starting to see elder abuse, and that's where adults who are members of the LGBTI community, as they're aging, are pressured by their often adult children or adult carers who they have a close relationship with, to change their behaviour, to sort of maybe go back in the closet or to revert back to the gender they're assigned at birth, even though they've transitioned. Otherwise, they won't see their grandchildren or something like that. So family violence looks very different in many different ways, and it's about making sure that we recognise that this is actually all family violence when we're responding. And in terms of intimate partner violence, one of the issues that police have had for a long time, given the traditional training we've had, is actually you go in and you're told to sort of identify who you think is the likely perpetrator of the violence and who you think is the likely victim of the violence. And because of the gendered nature of family violence, traditionally, they go, right, well, men are normally perpetrators and females are normally victims. And it can be really difficult when you walk into an environment and there are two men or two women and your training's telling you, well, hang on, am I looking at two victims or two perpetrators? But no, I've been told this is family violence. So actually getting people to engage in some questioning and unpack a little bit more and try and work out what's going on has been, I think, a challenge for some of our members, but something that people are getting increasingly better at and at recognising. I remember I heard some anecdotes from years ago where police would attend incidents and you'd hear comments, oh, there's lots of issues going on between female flatmates getting into fights and stuff nowadays. And you don't hear those sorts of comments anymore. People are more likely to understand that this is actually family violence, that that's an intimate relationship and there's something else going on there.
And we use those scenarios in our training for family violence and also when we do the GLOW training for new GLOWs. So we use same-sex family violence and we sometimes have violence where there's a trans person or a gender diverse person, just so that police get used to different types of family violence so they can identify them.
Yes, and so more broadly and outside of the purvey of the GLOW, Victoria Police generally are being trained in that.
Yes. Yeah, there's online training available to police now that incorporates a number of different scenarios, and one of them is intimate partner violence between two men and there's a child involved. So it's just great to see lots of different kinds of diversity in that. And our Family Violence Command have also produced a series of what they've called quick guides, so little 5-minute videos from community members that have come along to talk to police about what are the three key things we want you to know about family violence in this area. And Jo Ball from Switchboard has prepared the one with us for LGBTI family violence. So there's a little 5-minute clip available just with Joe explaining what are the key three things we want you to understand.
Roe-Ellen, with the monies that you've just had allocated to family violence in the LGBTI space, so you've set up the 1-800 number, 1-800-LGBTIQ. That's obviously some of that money's going towards manning that, humaning that. What other?
We're going to see LGBTI practitioners within magistrate courts. That's really important when they turn up and that people feel supported and understood in that space. In fact, tomorrow I'm meeting with the chief magistrate to talk about courts. There's all sorts of parts of the system. The system's bigger than I imagined. It's absolutely ginormous. And there'll be communication strategy as well in that. But some specific positions, I think that's what we need at the moment. And why we're doing this great work, which everybody here has been talking about, it does take time to turn the thinking around that intimate family violence isn't just, you know, male and female violence. And so why that is happening and why we're bringing everybody up to date, we do need to keep funding some particular services. And that will help our community understand that the violence in our community is domestic or family violence or intimate partner violence. And, you know, there's support out there for them. And that's really important. So the money will roll out as quickly as we can. And those positions and those programs have started to happen now, which is great. But we need to make sure we talk about them and people start to use them.
Gabby, if somebody's listening and they are experiencing intimate partner violence or some sort of family-related violence in an LGBTI situation, what should they do?
They should certainly, if it's an emergency, call 000, but contact any police officer because we have been trained. We have an understanding on what family violence is. We can identify different types, and you can't look at Victoria Police anymore as a homophobic organisation. Way back in the day, that's how we were viewed. We've done so much work internally to ensure that we give appropriate responses and we service the entire community. So contact a GLOW, of course, but feel comfortable contacting any police officer to discuss it.
And Roe-Ellen, if somebody has survived this family violence situation, is it somewhere to gather these stories? That 1-800 number you mentioned, is that for happening violence or is it?
Yeah, I should say it's not a crisis line. It is between business hours. So as Gabby's absolutely right, if you're in crisis, you need to contact 000 and get onto the
This is more of a counselling
This is a counselling and support and where to from here.
Yep. Okay,
sort of program. Great. And I think collecting the stories is really useful, because you go for help if you can see yourself in that support service. And so seeing other stories, and hopefully with a positive outcome.
I also think that if, and this is across the board with domestic violence or violence generally, you can't just leave a perpetrator and let that person go on to enter another relationship with a human. That at least needs to be logged, so that if there's a repeat behaviour.
Yeah, we have specialised police who basically just look at family violence, and they identify families that are at risk, and they work with those families. So they're not just leaving police to attend an incident and then that's the end of it. They actually look at, how do we support both sides, the offender and the victim, and how do we get counselling and support for both sides, so that hopefully the person who's perpetrating the violence can learn skills and methods to not continue to do that.
Absolutely. Hey, that's all we've got time for today on The Glow Show. Gabby Tyack, Ro Allen and Dani Houseman, thanks so much for being on The Glow Show this afternoon. You've been on The Glow Show podcast. I'm Dee Mason. This is Joy 94.9.
You've been listening to The Vic Police Glow Show, exclusive to Joy Podcast, presented by Vic Police LGBTI liaison officers and a range of Joy presenters. Head to joy.org.au/The Glow Show to find more episodes, or search Joy 94.9 Glow Show on iTunes. Subscribe so you never miss an episode. Rate and review if you like what you hear.
Thanks for listening to another Joy podcast, brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Help us keep Joy on air. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.